Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Who's
and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy.
Welcome to the show. Well, I'm excited to continue this series on getting into entrepreneurship, starting, growing, and managing your business. We've been talking to you over the last several weeks. This is our fourth week of the series of teaching you how to give birth to your dream, your vision, and your idea. I want to go back over some of the things that we've talked about over these last 3 weeks. The first things first is that there were several things that you needed to give consideration to when considering giving birth to your dream and your vision. Before we just jump off into a dream or a vision or an idea, the first thing that we need to think about is what is going on in our life today, and are we at a place, or is this a prime opportunity or a prime time for us to start our business? What I mean by that is, do we have the family support? You know, maybe, and it's not the fact that, you know, should I leave my full-time job and just jump off into this because I want to be my own boss, I want to do my own thing. We should be asking ourselves several different questions when it comes to whether or not this is the right time, this is the right season, this is the right opportunity to give birth to your dream. So one of the things that I share with you over the series is that what we have to do is evaluate ourselves, evaluate where we are in life, rating our own lives on a scale of 1 to 10. Where do you fall? Are you a 10? That means, are you happy? Are you pleased with where you are right now, ready to go to the next level? Or are you a 1 and totally desperate and don't know what you're going to do, and you've got to find or figure out a way to make this happen? So the first thing that we needed to do was to know ourselves and begin to evaluate who you are, where you want to go, what you want to do with your life, and if this is indeed the time and the season to give birth to your dream. Then we talked about questions that you should consider when you're talking about writing a business plan or giving birth to your dream or your vision. Then there are some things that you should consider when it comes to preparing yourself, really to think about that dream or that idea, or to start to prepare yourself. So I want to go back over some of those questions. What's your idea? Can you explain this idea in a simple, straightforward, easy to understand manner? Now, when we're talking about the business plan, the reason why that's important is because then you will begin to, as you simplify your idea, then you will begin to write it so that others can really understand it. Number two is, how does your idea address a need? And remember, I told you that needs far outperform products and services that are wants. The reason for that is that if you can focus on a need, then people, the marketplace, will come after your product. If you are entering the marketplace where you're dealing with a want because you think it's a good idea, because you think it's beautiful, because you think it's smart, you think it's clever, and that everybody can use it, is it something that people need? And the reason why that's important is we have to deal with the economy, where we are. Is employment up? Is it down? What are those things? Are we making more disposable income? All of those things will determine whether or not the marketplace will buy your product if it is, in fact, a want or a need. And so when you focus on needs, then you have an advantage in the sense that you're not pushing your product through the sales cycle, but instead the customer is pulling it through that sales cycle for you because there's, in fact, a need for the product. Number three was, what model suits you best? And you'd have to determine, what model are you going to use? Is it going to be a home-based business? Is it a brick and mortar? Is it going to be an office or an industrial site? Is it an e-commerce business? Is it an eBay model, or is it a turnkey type of business website, a dating website, a resume site? All of those are business models. So you'll have to determine. Remember, these are the questions that will help you to define what your dream and your vision is going to be. What's so different about your idea? And this is important so that you clearly can identify what's really different. You have to become an expert in your field, in that area that you are pursuing. You've got to know something about it. You've got to do the research. You've got to know what's going on in the market. You've got to join the associations, the organizations that can make you smarter, so that when it's time to get before that investor, that family or friend, whomever it may be, the lender who may fund your idea, then you know exactly how you can compete in the marketplace. Another question was, what's your role going to be? Are you going to focus on hiring an operating partner, meaning someone who is really advanced and who's really smart at the business that you want to do? Or are you going to try to do it yourself? And maybe you have the experience, maybe you have the knowledge, and you can carry that role as well, but you'll have to decide what your role is going to be. Just because you come up with an idea does not always mean that you should be the CEO because it's your idea, because you want it to be your company. If someone is smarter, who can advance your business, who can take it to the next level, then you should be willing to give others the opportunity for leadership that's going to bring the best possible results to you. Another question you may want to think about is, how much money do you need and how much will you make? You have to determine, and we're going to talk about that when it comes to the financials, when it comes to your business model, is how much money do you need to start this business? What is going to be your startup capital requirements? Will you fund your business, or will you look for others to fund your business? And then, how will you make money? That's what we want to know. That's the question you've got to ask yourself. The next question is, where's the startup money going to come from? And that's what I just said, is that, is it going to be investors? Is it family and friends? Is it prior employers? Where are you going to get the money? And also, how will you measure your success? And of course, there are a number of other questions, but you can always get this series. You can listen to the series on my website at annamccoy.com, on the podcast under The Real McCoy Show, as well as there's other information that's provided for you there. But you can get this information, get caught up to date. If this is your first time hearing the program, you want to listen to the last two or three programs to bring you up to speed. So today's topic is really a continuation of last week when we talked about writing a business plan. Now, writing a business plan is important because it's going to identify certain areas of your business plan that are extremely important to various different audiences, whether it's a vendor, whether it is an investor, whether it is your employees or your team, your partner. It's important that you have some key components in your business plan. One of the things that we talked about on last week was your executive summary. Many people who find themselves, they're out promoting their business, they're promoting their idea, and then an opportunity comes up. That opportunity then is identified, and a person says, well, I tell you what, you know, why don't we meet such and such, and or let's meet tomorrow at 10 a.m., and guess what? You're sitting there, you're looking like a deer with looking in headlights, you know, oh my God, I've got to go and write a business plan, or I've got to do something, I've got to get that executive summary. So I want to encourage you to start to write your plan before it is needed. And the reason why you want to do that is so you don't find yourself doing an all-nighter. Because when it comes to the executive summary, which is usually something most of your investors will ask for, which gives them a general overview, and it really covers the most important information in the executive summary. But here's the thing. The executive summary should be written last, and it shouldn't be the first thing. And the reason for that is that writing it last, you will have a thorough understanding of all of the other components of the business. You will be a master of your business when you finish writing your plan, and then you can summarize your whole business idea, what your needs are, what your investment opportunities are. You'll be able to identify that and explain it very clearly to a potential investor, partner, or other relationship. So in that executive summary, what you have the people, the idea, the market, the competition, the strategy, as well as your offering terms. And typically it's no more than 2 pages long, but again, I cannot stress enough that it should be written last, not first or not as an overnighter, because you're not going to help yourself, nor will you convince your investor. So you want to take time to write it. The next component of your business plan would be your business description. This breaks down your mission, your goals, and your objectives, as well as the business model. And what it really looks like, it identifies really what are you going to do in the marketplace. Is your business going to be an edible arrangement business? I had a recent opportunity to meet a business owner, a franchise owner of edible arrangements in the Grapevine area. I think it's a great idea. It's a wonderful thing to be able to send people a gift that they can consume and share with others. And this is what edible arrangements is all about. And if you have to send any type of corporate gifts, I certainly recommend it because I get rave reviews when I send this product as a thank you or as a birthday or something. And in fact, it is my gift of choice when I have to send long distance gifts. So I want to encourage you, whatever it is, in that description, you want to identify if your business were an edible arrangement, then you would identify what your mission is. Your mission could be something like, we would like to provide fresh, enjoyable, tasty fruit arranged as a beautiful bouquet of flowers to our customers. That could be your mission, is that every day of the week you want fresh product delivered to your customer. Introduce your product to the marketplace over a particular period of time, and then your objectives, you can identify what those objectives will be over the course of your business, or whether it's short-term or long-term, and then you identify the business model, which would be a partnership, a corporation, or perhaps an LLC. Another important aspect of your business description is strategic relationships that you may have. You want to tell who they are and how they will benefit your company. Finally, you want to consider the risk that your company will face both internally and externally. You want to communicate as much as possible what type of challenges your company may come up against, as well as how you're going to deal with that. Another part of, we were talking about really the organizational plan of your business as a key component, and I encouraged individuals on last week that even if you have an existing business, revisiting your organizational plan, because oftentimes our business strategy, it changes, our mission changes, our objectives change, and so over the course of time, you want to revisit this so that your team is on the same page and you have a really good idea of where you're moving your company, what direction you're moving into. A part of your organizational plan is your products or services. You want to identify that if you are in a product business, what is going to be your distribution model? How are you going to get the product into the customer's hands? Let's say if you're a service company, you will also look at how you will be able to provide your product to the customer. Will you have to go on site? Will you have to visit them? Is it something that they can get over the internet? Is it a direct mail type of business? You want to identify what type of business you're going to have and how you're going to distribute your service or provide your service to the customer. Now, I talked about also intellectual property. Intellectual property, of course, you've heard it over and over, all over when it comes to lawsuits or just the whole idea of business with the growth of the internet. We deal with intellectual property. Now, intellectual property certainly are things that are proprietary to your business. They're proprietary rights that you have, whether they are designs, their products, inventions, or ideas. They can be protected under the United States and international intellectual property laws. These three different types of areas that fall under intellectual property, and one is patents. Patents, basically, they secure an inventor's exclusive right to make use or sell an invention for a term of years. Your design for a new product may not be an invention in a technical sense, but the idea is certainly your intellectual property. Trademarks. These, by definition, point to ownership of merchandise to which a trademark is applied. A trademark is legally reserved to the exclusive use of the owner as maker or seller. A distinctive logo, insignia, or domain name can also be protected by a trademark. When you think of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Dell, all of these logos, they are trademarks. When you think of professional sports teams, their logos, it's a whole institution when it comes to the franchising of their logos. So you protect your intellectual property. Make sure you file for your patents. You need a patent attorney, or you can file directly for your trademark as well as your copyright with those particular departments. You can also go to our website at annamccoy.com, visit LegalZoom, and you can do all of that over the internet at a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to go to an attorney. Now, we're going to be right back, so stay tuned. And remember, we're talking about getting into entrepreneurship, writing a business plan, and making sure that you are ready to get this dream and this vision started. You can do it, and remember that you're loved and appreciated. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to write and execute a will? What about incorporating a business or registering a trademark? Are you avoiding important legal issues? LegalZoom is your solution. Developed by expert attorneys, LegalZoom has helped thousands of people take care of important legal procedures online. You'll save up to 85% in attorney fees. For more information on LegalZoom, visit annamccoy.com.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit annamccoy.com.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose: to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She will give you real answers to tough questions on love, money, and relationships. And now, your host, Anna, the real McCoy.
Welcome back to the show. I want to continue with the components of a business plan. We're talking about the organizational plan of your business. And one of the things that you want to consider is your location. When we talk about marketing 101, we hear location, location, location. But with the various different types of business structures, you want to consider if location is really a marketing decision. And what I mean by that, is it important to your marketing plan? Does your customer need to have immediate access, such as in a retail location? If you opened a sandwich shop, you would want to be in a busy shopping center or strip mall or something of that nature, versus you providing a product or service that you have very little customer contact. So you want to find the best possible location, whether it be industrial location, an office location. And remember, I did talk about virtual offices. So you can look up Google virtual offices on your computer, and you'll find one in your neighborhood where you can get a corporate identity. You can have meetings there. You can have your office for a short period of time where you have a number of hours on a monthly basis. You have access to conference rooms, various different things as you're growing your business. So location is important, but you want to consider if it's the right thing for you to do at the right time. If it's an opportunity for you to expand over time, then it's a great way to start your business. If you start in a location where you can have your corporate identity and grow as you need to grow outside of your home-based business, or you can basically do your business in your home. The other items that we talked about was the legal structure of your business, whether you're a sole proprietor, partnership, or a corporation. Now, I want to move on, and if you want to hear more about those items, you can go back to last week's message and listen to the show from last week. But let's deal with the management and personnel. Your management is your most critical issue that you need to address in your business. And the reason for that is your management team really is the team that is going to identify the expertise and the experience for you to be able to move your vision forward. Your management team will be the responsible party to bringing profitability to your business. And the reason for that is most people are going to invest in you and your team based on what you have already done, based on what your skills, your knowledge, your experience is. So it's important that you surround yourself with the right people. Nice people are great, but if they're not capable, they're not smart, they're not knowledgeable, and they're not experienced, it's not going to do you any good as it relates to being successful in your business and trying to raise capital, get other people on board. So you want to look for people who have a similar vision, who are like-minded, who are knowledgeable of the business that you're trying to pursue, or have transferable skills. And what I mean by that, when you talk to an attorney or an accountant or a business person who is a manager or something like that, those skills are transferable. You don't need to know the line of business or the exact type of business, because the skill set that you have is neutral across the board. So it's important that you identify who your management team is. When we talk about some of the people who started businesses, some of the movers and the shakers, when we deal with like Michael Dell, and you know, Michael Dell was from Texas, went to University of Austin, I believe, started his business. He only attended college for 1 year, if he finished his entire year, because he wanted to start his PC company. PC Unlimited or PC Limited, wanted to start that company right out the box. He was already selling computers when he was in high school and building and rebuilding and reselling, and really began to pursue the idea. And one of the things about his business or his opportunity and what he created, and I talked about this a little bit a couple of shows ago when we talk about what is your idea and how is your idea different. Your idea different from others is Michael Dell's idea was different because he designed a system by which he could keep his inventory low and provide the product based on a direct order or direct mail model. And so that model still has not been superseded when it comes to some of the other major companies in the country. So Michael Dell, when it comes to the people, he got the right people around him as he began to grow his business and expand his business, and he continued to expand and is doing so even today to expand that business to a $1 billion business. He was the youngest CEO to ever head a Fortune 500 company. He is continually breaking records. So anybody can do this, or all of us have an opportunity to do it. I can't say necessarily anybody, any of us could not do what Michael Dell has done. Michael Dell has done it, not us. So at the end of the day, each of us, we do have our own gifts and our own abilities, but the same tenacity, the same determination, the same passions that he pursued his dreams and visions are the way that we will have to achieve and pursue our dreams and visions. I want to recommend to you a great book that's an inspiration, that certainly is an encourager for those of you who want to give birth to your dream and vision. It's a book called Movers and Shakers. It's the 100 most influential figures of in modern business. That means your Michael Dells, the Hershey's, the businesses that we all understand that are still around today, that may have been started many, many years or a century ago, or even much younger businesses such as the Dell Corporation, who has only been around for about a couple of decades. So it's a great book. If you want to be encouraged, you want to be motivated, it's Movers and Shakers, the 100 most influential figures in modern business. And you can go to annamccoy.com, do the search, go to the books recommended, do the search, and you'll be able to order that book online. So it's awesome. It talks about the CEO of Amazon. It deals with Stephen Covey. Many of us know him. He's the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, the Walt Disney Company, Eisner, who was the previous CEO there. It deals with Eastman Kodak. Many of you have heard of him, and Thomas Edison, to Bill Gates, to Conrad Hilton, which is a very interesting story. So if you want to be encouraged, you want to understand how some of these people have gotten it done, from Sam Walton to Rupert Murdoch. He's over News Corporation, and I believe it's Direct TV. All of these individuals are mentioned. Their history is given. Their contributions are given. And it's just an awesome book to encourage you if you want to be in business, how ordinary people did some very extraordinary things. And it's no different from you. That extraordinary or ordinary idea that you believe is in your heart, in your mind, can bring about extraordinary possibilities. So don't you give up. Achieve your dream. Go forward. Make it happen, because you can do it. So we're going to be right back after this message.
What would happen to your family if something happened to you? Now, for just pennies a day, you can ensure that the ones you love will be taken care of, even if you can't be there. Woman, Act Now, a member of the Jabez family of companies, is pleased to provide access to a variety of life insurance products for men and women with rates that are among the lowest in the industry. To learn more or to download an application, simply log on to annamccoy.com. Don't leave your family's future to chance. Log on to annamccoy.com and click on Woman, Act Now.
You know you need to learn more about finances, but if you're like most people, you're probably not sure where to start. That's why Anna, the Real McCoy, has provided a learning center online just for you. Trying to figure out how to budget or save for your child's college education? Are you wondering if you can afford a house or how much you should be saving? Visit the Financial Learning Center at annamccoy.com, and you will enjoy dozens of helpful financial articles, newsletters, and online seminars. Don't give up. Get empowered at annamccoy.com.
Who's that lady?
Anna,
the Real McCoy.
Who's
welcome back. You know, right prior to the break, we talked about a number of different components of your business plan. This segment of the show is about writing a business plan. So I've been sharing with you on what you need to do, how you can prepare yourself, what's available to you. I want to go back to personnel for just a moment because there's some things that you really need to think about when it comes to getting the right team. And I tell you, it's one of the most important parts of your business plan is finding the right partnerships, increasing or enlarging your circle of influence, relationships, figuring out who you are in relationship with, how they can be of assistance to you. Now, what you need to do is you really have to think about this over a long period of time or to at least give some vision to how many employees will it take you to actually run your business efficiently? What jobs will you need for them, and at what stage in the business will they be hired? And that's a part of the process of projecting as you increase the opportunities, like when you start your business. You may not require as many employees if you're in the process of raising capital. As you raise that capital, you'll bring on different people for different positions. So you'll want to give thought to that. Will everyone have to start out working full-time? Can you start with part-time employees? Can you start with contract employees, or employees are not employees if they're contracted individuals, but independent contractors, can you use those individuals so it reduces your overhead? They have certain responsibilities. They can manage your requirements off-site. So all of those different things are important in deciding how many people, what people should be on your team. This next segment of the show, we're going to talk about the accounting and legal as well as insurance and security when it comes to writing your business plan. Talking about accounting, you should decide on how you're going to manage your accounting systems, what you will use, and why you have chosen that, whether or not you're going to do the initial calculations of your accounting, or perhaps you're hiring a bookkeeper. I tell you, you can't go wrong hiring someone who really understands the business. Now, in addition to that, you also need to know that there are a number of different accounting softwares that are available, from Peachtree to Quicken to QuickBooks, but these are also available online. I know that QuickBooks.com has an online version that's fairly inexpensive as it relates to keeping track of your accounting concerning your business, from the startup to your payroll, various different areas. Another company I'd like to introduce you to is a company called PayCycle.com. They're strictly payroll. Many of you may have heard of some of the other payroll companies like ADP, who handles small business accounting and payroll, and dealing with your employee, setting up your employee payroll taxes, and so forth. However, the cost is astronomical as it relates to starting your business and getting the lowest overhead you possibly can. So my recommendation to you is to use a company called PayCycle.com. First of all, you get the first 30 days free, then the next 2 months are $9.99, and then thereafter is about $45 or $49 a month. And so here's an opportunity for you to be able to use, to keep track of your payroll. You can pay independent contractors. You can pay salespeople. You can pay commissions. It'll keep track of all of that for you and allow you, tell you exactly what you need to do at a very low entry cost if you're starting your business. There's nothing better that you can do than keeping the proper details and records concerning your accounting, because even if you start your business and you start slow and maybe you fund your business, the business grows, you want accurate accounting. You want to use the general accounting, accepted accounting principles. So try to find all of those different companies that can support you with the lowest possible cost. Now, in addition to that, we're talking about the legal representation. You have to understand something will happen. If you get involved in a partnership or relationships, or you get into vendor relationships that require contracts, you need to have an attorney review your materials. So if worst case, you need to find that friend you went to college with, see if you can get them on your team to help review documents and contracts so that you don't sign something that is not in your favor. In addition to that, go to annamccoy.com. You can use LegalZoom.com as well as LawDepot.com to help you write immediate documents, legal documents, whether it's confidentiality agreements or it could be employer agreements. You can download those pretty quickly, and they're written by professionals. They're written by attorneys. And also, don't forget the fact that you can pick up some documents or software that will enable you to write various different legal documents that have been reviewed or put together as templates, a boilerplate documents by attorneys. So let's talk about the insurance. What type of insurance will you need? Depending on the type of business that you're starting, one of the things that you want to do is you want to protect your company against common claims and against serious risk for your particular industry. Now, it depends on the type of business that you have. You need to talk to a reputable insurance agent. That person can identify for you the appropriate coverage that you need for your business and also help you to adopt a strategy to put those plans in place. For instance, if you're producing a product, you need product liability. It should be a major consideration, especially in certain industries. Service businesses are concerned with personal liability, insuring customer goods while on the premises or doing the transporting of those goods. So if you have a vehicle and you use it for business purposes, then your insurance must reflect its use. So you want to get with your insurance agent and talk about what type of insurances your company will need and what type of liability you may face should those insurances not be in place. The last thing I want to talk to you about is security. Security in the sense that protecting your intellectual property as well as protecting your products and services. And what I mean by that is theft is very common among employees. If you're in a what we call a cash business, where you may have a retail business or a restaurant or something of that nature, you want to make sure that you put the proper security protocols in place, whether it's cameras, whether it's a security person who is a part of your initial team to make sure that the presence is there so that people are not stealing. I had an opportunity to talk to a recent business owner who purchased a business from another, the previous business owner, and the business was basically in the skincare and kind of your facial massages, different types of things like that. It was that type of business. And when I was talking with her, she was talking about how she had to, over time, because she did not know this business, she had to learn the business and had employees that worked for her who were basically stealing. So she had to put some protocols in place to help her to prevent employee theft. Not only that, she also educated herself so she didn't feel like she had to be held hostage by those existing employees and ultimately ended up firing them. So you want to make sure that you deal with the security when it comes to whatever your business is, if your employees are dealing with cash, and also you want to protect your ideas. So you want to be careful how you share your information. So if you're a new business and you're starting and you're an entrepreneur, you got a business idea, before you have a meeting, you want to have those participants sign a confidentiality agreement or a non-disclosure agreement so that they hold your idea, you know, in confidence and that they are liable not to share that idea with other people. So make sure that you take those precautions. We're going to continue with our discussion. We're talking about writing a business plan when we return from the break. This has been an awesome opportunity to share this information with you, to give you a kickstart for 2007. So stay tuned. We're talking about starting, growing, and managing your business. We're in the infantile stages where we've been talking about your business plan over these last 2 weeks, but this is our fourth week of the series. And remember, if you haven't heard it, you can always go to annamccoy.com. I've got tremendous information there. We've got some supporting information that I've talked about, whether it's the movers and shakers, getting a book that's going to encourage you, motivate you, and show you that you're an ordinary person, but you can do extraordinary things given the right resources, the right relationship, the passion, the drive, and the determination. You can do it too. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this message.
You know you need to learn more about finances, but if you're like most people, you're probably not sure where to start. That's why Anna, the Real McCoy, has provided a learning center online just for you. Trying to figure out how to budget or save for your child's college education? Are you wondering if you can afford a house or how much you should be saving? Visit the Financial Learning Center at annamccoy.com, and you will enjoy dozens of helpful financial articles, newsletters, and online seminars. Don't give up. Get empowered at annamccoy.com.
Are you one of the millions of Americans terrified to go to your doctor or dentist because of skyrocketing medical costs? Get some relief with a well-being benefits card for less than a dollar a day. You'll enjoy discounts from a variety of healthcare providers, including physicians and dentists. Your discount card allows you to choose the services important to you, including vision, chiropractic, pharmaceutical, even travel and legal services. For more information or to apply, simply log on to annamccoy.com.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She will give you real answers to tough questions on love, money, and relationships. And now, your host, Anna, the Real McCoy.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking about writing a business plan, starting, growing, and managing your business. We've been talking about getting into entrepreneurship over the last 3 weeks. So this is week number four. I tell you, this is a five-week series. We've dealt with a number of different issues from, is this the time that you should get involved, that you should give birth to your dream and vision? Do you have the support? Do you know what you want to do? Have you given a thought to your life plan, who you are, evaluating where you are in life? What type of work habits do you have? What type of skills and talents do you have that can contribute to your dream and your vision? Well, we're going to continue our discussions by talking about the marketing plan. And of course, this is what's going to make and break your business. The reason why I say that this is going to make or break your business, because most entrepreneurs fail because they put so much attention on the product and the service and do not give the proper attention to making customers aware of their business or product or service to bring it to the marketplace. So your marketing plan is certainly one of the most important parts of your business plan, because it's going to identify for your potential readers of your business plan or your investors what and how, where, when you're going to make this happen. So you're going to identify in your marketing plan the strategies on how you're going to bring your product to market, how you're going to get customers to pay for your product, as well as make them aware of your product and the need or the problem that it will solve. Your marketing plan will contain information that is related to your target market, your competitors, and marketing trends. Market research methods and results are also in this section. First of all, you want to identify your target markets. And what we mean by that is, who are you selling to? Who are your ideal customers? Your target market should be defined in terms of demographics, psychographics, and special characteristics of niche markets. Now let's talk about the demographics. Demographics refers to the statistical data of a population, including average age, income, and education. A great source to identify this information is your U.S. Census data. Also, you can get information if you go to a real estate website, our realtor.com, and you look up, you're looking up statistics as it relates to neighborhoods, that you can get it really defined down to a particular zip code or within a 5-mile radius in a particular area. That can certainly be helpful because it'll give you crime statistics, it'll give you population, income, schools, all of those different things that are in that particular neighborhood if you don't want to use the census data. Now let's talk about the psychographics. Psychographics uses demographics to determine the attitudes and the taste of a particular segment of a population. Psychographics examines lifestyles, where people spend their vacations, where they shop, how they spend their disposable income, what sports they participate in or watch, in which clubs, organizations they may join, and much more. So it's really about lifestyle when it comes to thinking about the psychographics of your audience. For instance, an example of your psychographics could be if you're in the fitness business and you're opening up a Fit After 50 franchise in your neighborhood. Well, one of the things you want to make sure that you understand is that what are the lifestyles of the people in your area? First thing you want to do is certainly you want to look at the demographics and determine that you have a large number of 50-plus individuals in your area. Then you want to determine how do they spend their money. Do they buy clothing, fitness wear? Are they health conscious? Are there a number of health food stores in the area, fitness clubs, different things that would let you know that this particular audience are interested in taking care of their health, being the best that they can be, enjoying life after 50. So you want to look at the psychographics of your potential target market. Now, the other part of the identifying your market is a niche market. Niche markets are when you want to concentrate on a small segment of the market. Now, the thing about niche markets is that you have to know your market. You need to know what your customer wants, and you need to know how to get it to them. When you focus on a niche market, this is what you will deal with, is oftentimes individuals, your consumer, is much more educated when it comes to niche marketing. And the reason for that, they have a very high level of interest in that product or that service. So if you are the provider of the product or service, then you need to know your business and you need to know it well, because you'll have a much more difficult time trying to convince your customer to get what you have if you're not at the top of your game. And what's great about niche marketing is that you don't have to be all things to all people. You can find your place. And that's what's so great about franchising, is that they choose particular niche markets. They become the experts at it. They teach you how to do it, and they can help you take it to the next level. So if you're interested in a particular marketplace, you need to know your market. You need to know the characteristics, the interests, and the desires, are what your customers want in order to compete in that market. So a part of that marketing plan is knowing your market, knowing who they are, what they want, what they desire, and ultimately being able to fulfill the needs of your customer. Right now, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the competition. That's certainly a part of the marketing plan, and where you need to understand, you need to know, you need to be aware, you need to study your competition. So after this message, we'll be right back. You're listening to Anna, The Real McCoy. We're talking about writing a business plan. This is about jump-starting you for 2007, getting you on the road to success to give birth to your dream and your vision. So don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to write and execute a will? What about incorporating a business or registering a trademark? Are you avoiding important legal issues? LegalZoom is your solution. Developed by expert attorneys, LegalZoom has helped thousands of people take care of important legal procedures online. You'll save up to 85% in attorney fees. For more information on LegalZoom, visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
You know you need to get control of your finances, but like many people, you probably don't know where to start. That's why Anna McCoy and her husband Richmond have created a plan of action they call Building Generational Wealth. This easy-to-follow workbook contains step-by-step instructions that will enable you to understand and act to secure your financial future. You'll learn how to determine your net worth, reduce debt, manage your money, and even plan for retirement. Seize your financial future today. To order, simply visit AnnaMcCoy.com.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She will give you real answers to tough questions on love, money, and relationships. And now, your host, Anna, the real McCoy.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about writing a business plan, getting you prepared for 2007 and giving birth to your dream and your vision. We've been dealing with writing a business plan, starting, growing, and managing your business. We're just in the starting process. This has been a five-week series. We have one more week to go. We've dealt with 4 weeks of entrepreneurship. And so hopefully I've been able to prepare you. I've gotten emails. I've gotten phone calls from individuals who have been listening to the show. And I know it's very difficult to ask questions through the process because it's so much information. And as I said, let me remind you, at the end of this series, we're going to make these audios of the programs available for you to purchase and listen to at your own leisure. So we're talking about your marketing plan. We've dealt with your niche markets. We've dealt with the psychographics, the demographics, and now I want to deal with the competition. You need to know your competition. Basically, who is competing with you? After you have identified your target market, it is important to discern what other companies are after the same market. What are their strengths and their weaknesses relative to your business? If you are not certain who your competitors are, use search engines. Okay, you know Google, you got to Google the thing. And if you just put it in there, something's going to pop up. You want to know the competitors. And one of the great things now, because of the internet, it certainly gives you various different websites on individuals who may be competing in your market. You need to know. You need to check your trade associations, manufacturer, company listings, as well as any directories that you may have available to you, whether it's online, whether it's your phone book. I mean, that's one of the simplest things that you can do in your own community or in the zip code that you're looking for is get a hold to a Yellow Pages and look and see who your competitors are in the marketplace. What do you want to do when it comes to researching your competition? First of all, check out their website. Usually they will give you their product offerings, and oftentimes they will give you their pricing structures. You can examine their design, the format. They will also have a client list of the people that they currently work with. So you want to know what features and benefits that you need to promote. And you can learn a lot of that from looking at your competition. Now, I'm not telling you to copy their information because that's plagiarism and it's copywritten. So you don't want to do that, but you want to look at it and see what others are doing in the marketplace so that you clearly understand what you're up against. What is the name or the nature of the content that they provide? You want to find out and pay attention to the product offerings, the services, how they communicate to the client to see if it's something that you can clearly understand. In the About Us section, you find out how long they've been in business, what their mission, what their objectives, what their goals may be, and who their management team is. You will also investigate their prices of their products and services, whether or not it's on the internet or you call, you ask. You can go, if it's a business that you are anticipating, you can go into a local business. Let's say, for instance, you're interested in a franchise. And what you'll do is go into that business as a customer. Observe, watch, look, look at the customers, see what their behaviors are, what they're buying, how they're communicating, and just be a quiet observer. And that's one way to understand your competition. In addition to that, you can determine who your competition is based on who advertises. You can look in your local paper, on television, radio, all of those are your basic media outlets, and you can determine who your competitors are. Now, another thing that you need to do is assess the market trends. Your marketing plan should reflect your observations and insights about the trends in your industry and in your target market. One of the mistakes that many entrepreneurs will make in their business plan is they fail to identify the trends of their industry. And what that tells an investor is that you really just don't understand, or you really don't have a grasp of the marketplace. Another mistake that individuals will often make is when they're dealing with the competition in that segment of the market, of your marketing plan or in your business plan, people say, well, I don't have any competition. Yes, you do. You have competition against, if you're selling a product or service and they're not buying yours, they're buying someone else and they are identified as your competition. You want to identify the industry trends. These influence almost every business within its segment. These are major trends such as the increase in service business in the United States, the decline of manufacturing. That's a trend. The precarious position of the internet, pure plays, to name a few. And what that means is when we are talking about becoming a service-oriented country and not a manufacturing country, that's certainly going to affect the industry trends in those areas that you may be considering if you are producing a product. When you think about outsourcing, you think about other countries fulfilling those products and the world being a global economy, you need to pay attention to what the trends are in the marketplace. In addition to that, your target market trends. If you're going after a specific market, then you want to be careful to understand the trends because they certainly can affect and influence the demographics, such as the aging of our population. When we think about our baby boomers, if you don't understand the trends, you know, I think it's 10 or 20 years from now, we'll have 78 million baby boomers. And the baby boomers are from the 40s to the 1964. And what the baby boomers want, they get. They are about taking care of themselves. They've worked very hard. They've earned a living. They want to retire wealthy. They want to retire well. They want to travel, do all sorts of things. So you want to be aware of the trends and how the social influences are affecting your industry. So one of the great areas that certainly is a market trend today is dealing with women. Women are spending money. So they're a great target market. They're a niche market if you have a product or service, but you need to understand what women want. Don't tell them what they want, but you need to understand what they want. And how do you do that? You can do that through various different types of research, whether it's focus groups, whether it's questionnaires, surveys. You can begin to understand who your market is and what they want. So, again, you're listening to Anna, The Real McCoy. It's been an exciting time. Sorry I wasn't with you. This wasn't a live show. It was pre-recorded, but I'll be back. Or better yet, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I just want to wish you a happy holiday season, happy Thanksgiving, and have a great time with your family. Think about your future. Think about 2007. It's only a few days away. What will you do? What difference will you make? Will you birth your dream? Will you give your idea a chance to flourish? And that's what this is all about, The Real McCoy Show.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop. Listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?